Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area because it works. You can visit EMP180.com and get empowered. We thank you for tuning this Thursday morning, May 23rd, 2019. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. And Jason Bishop.
Hello.
Open line Thursday today.
Yep.
Lines are open now if you want to call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Lister lines at 800-636-1067. Standard message data charges may apply. We'd love to hear from you. Talk about whatever you want. You can text us, same number on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message data charges may apply. And you can tweet us at Junks Radio. We'll talk some baseball today. Nats lose another one. Bullpen blows it again. David Sampson's going to join us at 7:20. Used to be the president of the Marlins. Now he is with CBS Sports HQ as a Major League Baseball analyst.
I like him.
John Shambi will join us at 9:20. And yeah, the bullpen blew it again. Yeah. What happens?
You wouldn't expect last night's, though, although it was a close game. But, I mean, really was Doolittle that blew it up. Came in the eighth. For the four-out save, immediately hit the first batter, load the bases, and then it just all went to hell after that.
Yeah, and they gave up the Lagares
double. And he was beside himself.
After the double, when
they took him out, I mean, you could see how livid he was. And I think he said afterwards in the post-game press conference, he was disgusted with himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been a little hard.
Well, Bear Claw didn't help him by giving him two base runners.
No. But, you know, usually he comes in. The guy he was facing, I think the guy they hit was hitting about 077, something like that.
And how about, now the game was over pretty much, because after he gave up the bases clearing double to Lagares, it was 3-1. But
mm-hmm.
Rajay Davis was, he wasn't even at the stadium for batting practice for the Mets.
Yeah.
He got to the game in the third inning.
He left at 5 o'clock, I guess.
Took an Uber.
Pennsylvania?
Somewhere. It was like 130 miles. Took an Uber. $240 Uber and got to the stadium in the third inning. Didn't even know where the clubhouse was. Said he got lost in the stadium.
He was in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Allentown. And then he came in and hit the bomb.
That's so cool, man. What a cool story. Yeah. Guys, I think 38 years old.
Yeah, he's a journeyman.
I looked up his numbers, though. He's made $32 million in his career.
Yeah, he can still run, too.
That's pretty sick story for him.
Let me ask you a question. I fell asleep, and I think it was the fourth.
I literally watched the entire game.
Yeah, you watched the whole game. So in the eighth inning.
Not that I can remember it all, but.
Well, you might remember this. In the eighth inning, mm-hmm. Barrett Claw came in, immediately got the first out.
Yeah.
I think he struck out whoever it was. Struck out.
Never be able to remember who or what.
Okay. But I just want to ask you a question about that particular inning. So he struck out J.D. Davis, and then Hechavarria doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Did Soto hold up on? Could Soto have made that play?
That FP call. It was strange when you watch it because it hit the base of the wall.
Okay.
And both Soto and Robles, if according to FP, both guys, it appeared to him, thought the other guy maybe had it.
Maybe miscommunication?
It was just weird that wasn't caught. It was in the air long enough that you think that one's going to be caught. It was weird.
That's what I heard on the radio this morning, that it should have been an out. A better left fielder makes that play.
And then certainly, like a Michael A. Taylor, that's an out.
And Alonzo grounded out the next play, so the inning would have been over.
Yes.
And
it was a weird play. I mean, it was a good hit,
yeah.
But the ball was in the air for a long time. Both guys are attacking it. They're just not very good defensively.
Yeah, that's why they want to move to Soto to first, I guess.
If you watch the replay of it, you'll just be kind of torn on it. I think.
Yeah, I got to see that play.
You'll be kind of torn. You'll be like, I don't know, man. And you could see Soto was pissed when it hit the wall. Neither one of them caught it.
Right.
Because I think he knew that should have been caught.
If the ball hits the base, unless it's a line drive and you're not even close.
It was in the air for quite a while.
The ball's in the air that long, it's got to be caught.
Yeah.
And then you're out of the inning, and then, you know, Doolittle doesn't have to come in till the ninth.
Yeah, it's just a shame, man. I mean, Scherzer is such a baller. And, you know, he had a ton of pitches in the first inning, so it could only give him six, but they were just nasty. And he's so fun to watch. And I swear, even his at-bats are fun to watch.
He and DeGrom were really on point.
Yeah, DeGrom
was throwing 99.
Yeah.
Max got it up to about 97.
I think DeGrom might have hit 100. I thought they said three times.
Did he? Okay. I'm not surprised. I mean, he was just throwing peas up there. But another bad loss for the Nats.
That was one of those heartbreakers. Just a heartbreaker. Although, you know, when you only get a couple hits, it's hard to win. Mm-hmm. But they were right there. They had their best pitcher.
You look at the numbers, he is the best pitcher, although they've only won 2 out of 11 starts when Max Scherzer
was on the
mound.
Well, I was talking about Doolittle. When Doolittle was there, they had the lead.
They're also bringing him in with inherited runners. Not an ideal situation.
He made it worse by hitting the first batter.
Certainly. It's infectious. The bullpen ERA is now 6.89.
Yeah.
6.89.
It was really, really, really hard to watch, and you could see it coming, too. All they had to do was get 6 outs, get to Doolittle in the ninth. And then you would think they'd be able to wrap it up.
I feel decent about my prediction that Davey will be whacked in the next 3 weeks. Jason wondered yesterday, right at the end of the show, what if they lose the next couple? Mm. Well, they just got swept by the Mets.
No, they played
today. Oh, that's right. There's the game today.
Another one
Sorry.
Today.
They played
Strauss
today. 12-10 game today.
Well, they lost the series to the Mets.
I mean, you could blame that one on Davey. Maybe Davey should add Michael A. Taylor in the outfield. But I mean, for the most part, I didn't see any controversial decisions.
Well, maybe he should have kept with one of the relievers who did okay in the seventh inning. He went to,
Ross.
Went to Bearclaw after Ross and Grace.
No, he went to Grace.
Ross. They held down
maybe,
the seventh.
Maybe keep Ross there and don't use Bearclaw 2 nights in a row. I don't know.
Bearclaw was doing fine.
I assume they went Ross, Grace because of matchups, because Grace must have come in to face
Ross
a lefty.
Was pissed when they took him out because they brought in a pinch hitter.
Lefty.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then Grace faced him, got him. So they held down
Grace
the seven.
Did his job, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting that he didn't put a defensive replacement in for Soto.
Now, it was still the eighth inning. I don't know how often that happens.
Did they talk about that on the broadcast?
I didn't hear him talk about it. Hmm. But you just know those two guys aren't great out there. And an instance like that just highlights it.
So every move that is made and every move that's not made is just haunting this team, and it's come back to kill them.
Just a terrible season is what it is. They're 19-30.
Yep.
11 games under 500. It's the worst that they've been since 2011.
Yeah. It's bad.
I mean, what can you say?
So it was a heartbreaker.
Somebody tweeted this morning, and I had to check. I'm like, oh, your boy Davey just got fired. I didn't see that in the news. Maybe he just meant that he felt like he was going to get fired.
Mm.
It's the next shoe to fall.
I suppose.
800-636-1067.
Pretty
it
depressing.
Is open line Thursday if you're going to chime in. I was kind of disappointed because the Warriors swept. Now you don't. For a few days, you had the NBA Eastern and Western Conference Finals every other day.
Mm-hmm.
And then so that meant every day you had either the Eastern Conference or Western Conference Finals. And you'll have the Bucks game tonight against Toronto. But last night was dead zone. In terms of nothing to see in the Western Conference because Portland got swept. And it's interesting that all the stories are about the guys who may or may not leave. And Kevin Durant has become the most sensitive superstar that I've ever encountered in sports. He's in a battle with Chris Broussard on Instagram and Twitter or whatever, going at Chris Broussard because Broussard said on Undisputed that he has exchanged all these text messages and he has Kevin Durant's number. And Durant was like, you don't have my number. And he just, I do this all the time too. He just meant, I guess he's DM'd him and he's Instagrammed him and used Twitter and may not have texted him, but he used the word
text. It's all the same thing. He's on his phone.
And he's like, look, I could show you 60 DMs if you'd like to, but I'm not going to expose you that way. It's just so stupid. And that, why does a guy like Kevin Durant get involved in that?
I don't know.
And then Kevin Durant fires back at like fans who are hitting him up.
That's why Kevin Durant had a burner account.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know. He went from being like this really likable guy to like a villain.
When he won the MVP, and he thanked everybody on the team, and he seemed really sincere. And I think he was sincere at that moment.
100%.
He seemed so likable. And since he moved to Golden State, which has helped him win two rings, and he's probably going to win a third ring. He's become uber sensitive.
Well, he's very defensive.
He should just play the game, win your rings, and don't worry about stupid fans or guys on TV talking about. Basically, he's upset because Broussard said that there's going to be an asterisk on this ring in particular if Durant doesn't play.
Well, he said it was worst nightmare,
right,
that they were continuing to win this way without KD. And KD was right. It's not his worst nightmare.
Of course not.
I mean, you know. But so he is overstating it.
Why does Kevin Durant care?
Should be above it. Like Tiger Woods gets criticized all the time.
Right.
99.999% of the time, he keeps his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Even if you ask him about it, sometimes people will ask him about it. He pretty much avoids it.
Do you think deep down, KD is rooting against the Warriors?
That's kind of what Broussard is insinuating.
I think deep down, that's based on
what we're hearing and how he's reacting.
Anytime you're missing, you don't want to see them just.
You want to feel more important. Yeah,
you don't want to see them
more
just
valuable.
Sailing without you, no problems.
Let's say you took a month off from the radio show and our ratings doubled.
Yeah, I wouldn't be excited because I mean, send me the bonus checks.
Right, that's kind of how I'd feel too.
Right, send me the bonus checks.
But
if I took a month off the show and the ratings plummeted, I'd still be pissed because that's no more bonuses for
right.
me.
Right, yeah. Right. You want the greater good?
Yes, well, he doesn't, of course.
I think. Look, he won the NBA Finals MVP the last 2 years, and I think he is the best player overall. But the team, at least in this brief, small sample size, seems to be thriving, in particular, particularly Steph, who averaged 36.5 points per game in a four-game series. So let's say his calf strain is serious and he doesn't play in the NBA Finals, and Steph averages 33 points, and they win it 4-1 against the Bucks or the Raptors. People are going to say they don't need Kevin Durant. And he's not going to, that doesn't help his legacy. Like, he's somebody that probably cares about legacy. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He wants to go down as one of the all time greats.
Well, that's why I think.
And his three rings will be diminished.
That would entice him to go somewhere else to run his own shop even more, I would think.
Maybe.
Maybe go to the Clippers. Maybe go to the Knicks, wherever.
Although, who is it? We had Scalabrine on yesterday and said he's hearing that KD's going to stay.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
although did you hear that? I heard another person say that too.
No, but he also said that he's hearing more buzz that Kevin Durant and Kawhi are going to the Clippers.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
No. Huh.
But you're right. He is letting all this stuff bother him, and you know, who knows how that's going to affect him in the finals if he plays. But it is weird how he's changed in a calendar year.
Well, it's been a couple years. It's been in the making.
It was because there was such a negative reception for him moving to Golden State. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, prior to him moving to Golden State, OKC had played Golden State in, I think it was the Western Conference Finals. Maybe it was the second round of the playoffs. I think they took him to 7 games. And people were like, well, you lose to that team. Why don't you stay with Oklahoma City and beat them next year? And instead, he joined the champions. And a lot of people are upset, and I think he got defensive, and he started firing back.
That's when they had a 3-1 lead, too, Thunder.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, we'll see what happens. Game 5 tonight, Toronto-Milwaukee in Milwaukee. Milwaukee, by the way, 38-9 in that building if you include the playoffs. So Toronto's going to have to get another huge effort from Kawhi, one of those 35-point efforts from Kawhi Leonard.
Although they won the last game with Kawhi not putting up huge numbers.
Yeah,
it was the bench that helped them, a more balanced attack.
But this game's in Milwaukee. It'll be much tougher.
Look, Giannis is probably going to win the MVP. They're saying he's the favorite over James Harden this year. Giannis has to prove it tonight. This is an opportunity. Like, you were talking about that with James Harden against Golden State. Once Golden State lost Kevin Durant, big opportunity for Giannis to make a statement. He hasn't had the best numbers in this series.
Yep.
They played good defense.
Big spot for him tonight.
All right. It is Open Line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
When the Raptors beat the Bucks at home, Drake was massaging for a second the coach of the Raptors, Nick Nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always, look at the Raptors games,
he's always running up and
down
the court.
He's always on camera. Yeah. He's always like right by the bench. And I guess the coach of the Bucks, Mike Budenholzer, kind of took offense to it. And he said something about, like, it's another kind of like Twitter, Instagram beef that then Drake shot back at the coach of the Bucks and is like, hey, if you're winning the game, then I'm obviously not doing those antics, but Toronto took care of business in game four.
Budenholzer said
some people get really wrecked. I don't really care about Drake. Doesn't bother me.
I mean, I think it doesn't bother me either, but I think it looks a little unprofessional for the organization, you know, when Drake is massaging him like that. But I mean, if that's the look they want, that's
fine. What's
he going
to do? The guy's just there on the sideline, and Drake's the one doing it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are they supposed to get security and kick him out?
Well, why does a fan who, you know, has a verbal altercation with a player, yeah, or maybe puts their hand on a coach or a player, gets thrown out and suspended
but
from
Drake
the arena.
Drake can basically do whatever he wants.
But Drake can go massage a coach who may not want to be touched. You know, well, and he gets praised.
Isn't Drake also a part owner though? I think he owns a small percentage or something now.
It doesn't matter. You shouldn't be touching a player or a coach.
I don't know. It doesn't really bother me too much. I think it looks a little unprofessional, but whatever. It's all good. I don't know.
So he liked to comment on Instagram or Twitter. I never can tell the difference. Where the comment was, sports media needs to accept the simple rule that the Miami Hurricanes signed into law back in the 80s. If you don't want the opposing team to celebrate and dance, prevent them from scoring, winning, or achieving their objective. Get over it and keep it moving.
Well, Budenholzer said something about it. He said there's no place for fans on the court. And then Giannis said something. Did he say something too? Like, why are you letting Drake bother you? Mm-hmm. You know, don't let – I mean, Drake shouldn't be the focal point of the series.
He's such a big personality, though. It's kind of like a Spike Lee back in the day.
It's exactly like Spike Lee, where Spike Lee would get into it with Reggie Miller or other players. Yeah. And players can either choose to ignore it. And most of the time, like, I've seen – Drake yelling at Giannis. Giannis just walks right by him.
Yeah, I just think that they should not even address it. Budenholzer shouldn't even be talking about it. I don't even get it.
It's like next level. Like here when we grew up with the Bullets and when Robin Ficker used to do his antics, it's next level because Ficker was always a couple rows behind the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing his stuff. Like Drake, it almost looks like he's lining up with the players. He's so close
to
their bench.
Well, it's like stuff you see in the summer. You know, like a summer league games or like and one things where, you know, you got like a guy with a microphone at midcourt.
He's almost like an annoying parent at a kid's game.
He might as well be in the huddle at timeouts.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I think it's kind of unprofessional, but it's.
The Bucks shouldn't even throw it
in. But it's unprofessional for who?
They're being asked about it.
What's his professional?
I think it's unprofessional for the organization to allow it to happen.
When Budenholzer is asked about it, he said, I don't really care. We got to worry about beating the Raptors. We don't care about Drake. That's what he should say.
Yeah. I'm not even paying attention.
But for him to say, there's no place for our fans on the court, don't say that.
Because the Bucks,
then you're giving them more attention.
Because the Bucks won their first two games, and when we talked to Brian Scalabrine yesterday, who's now with Radio.com, he said he was of that mindset. So many people just assume the Bucks were the better team. I always thought, and might be proven wrong, I always thought the Raptors were the better team. Even though the Bucks had a better record, I just think they have more overall talent. But a lot of people go the other way and say the Bucks have more talent. I think it's an interesting series.
Well, we'll see. I'm interested in this game tonight. I'm going to watch as much as I can.
What time is the game?
8:30.
That's not bad.
Along the lines of the Kevin Durant discussion we were having, and people could chime in. Do you think deep down Kevin Durant, if he's not playing, is rooting for Golden State to struggle? Or do you think he wants them to thrive? Because another example would be, what's the name of the coach that got fired by the Raptors last year? Dwayne Casey, who's now coaching in Detroit.
Yep.
So Dwayne Casey, almost year after year, seemed to have the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals. They just lost to LeBron every year, right? So Dwayne Casey gets hosed. The Raptors not only were a team with Lowry and DeRozan that was knocking on the door of getting to the finals overall,
mm-hmm,
they made a trade and upgraded their talent level because they brought in Kawhi Leonard, who's better than DeMar DeRozan.
Of course.
And so, deep down, Dwayne Casey has to be rooting against his former players because he doesn't want Nick Nurse to take the team to the finals.
It'd be tough. I mean, who knows what the relationship
is. Who the hell is Nick Nurse?
I mean, he
came out of nowhere to become the head coach of the Raptors.
I know how I would be. I'd be rooting against them. But Dwayne Casey's probably a much better person than me. Maybe he's got really good relationships with the players and is rooting for him. But who knows?
And
did Dwayne Casey end up latching on with the team as an assistant? Who's he with now?
No, I thought he's the head coach of the Pistons.
Oh, he's in Detroit. That's right. That's right.
But with Kevin Durant, do you think deep down, let's say he can't get back for the finals. Like, they're saying that he probably will, but let's say he can't get back for the finals. Do you think deep down he's rooting for Golden State to lose, which would mean he only has two rings, or to win, which means he has three rings, but this third ring, he's missed the crucial games in the Western Conference Finals, and he will have missed the NBA Finals?
That's a great question.
I think he wants him, if he can't come back, if he's done, I think he wants him still to win.
So he gets a third ring.
And it's not as much selfish as it is. He's been with those guys for 3 years. Those are his boys.
Teammates.
You can say what you want. Yep. They're his teammates, and he wants his boys to win.
Although he got into that big spat this season with Draymond Green, where Draymond allegedly yelled at KD and said, "We don't effing need you."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he called him the B word.
Right.
Understood. I still think at the end of the day.
And so in the end, Draymond may be proven right. If Golden State ends up winning, who's right? Draymond. Yeah, we don't need you. We just want it without you.
We don't really know what the relationships are like that.
My guess is, though, he's been going to war with these guys for 3 years. They are his teammates. Sure, he has beef with some of them. But at the end of the day, he wants his guys to win. That would be my guess. I would put my money on that.
And if I'm Kevin Durant, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067.
They don't want him to cruise.
All this talk about him going to other teams. If I'm Kevin Durant, I would accept the third ring. Now I've got three. I'm going to be a Hall of Famer. I would re-sign with Golden State and make it 4, 5, 6, because then I think eventually it'd be forgotten. If he ends up with like six rings in Golden State, they only got one without him. You've done part of a run where you win six championships.
I mean, I never hear anybody say, well, they don't talk about Robert Parrish as one of the great players, but his don't count because he won his with Larry Bird.
Right.
Or he won his with Kevin McHale.
Right.
And Danny Ainge.
He's not an all-time great.
Yeah,
like
he's not
Kevin
an all-time
Durant.
Great, but still.
Yeah, different time, though. I mean, social media now is just a monster.
I would stay with Golden State.
And the way he's reacted to some of these, you know, these people, these media posts, like the Chris Broussards of the world, I don't know. Maybe he is kind of rooting against them or rooting for them to struggle a little bit to prove how valuable he is to the team. It's a possibility.
It could be hard to prove it, though, if he goes to the Knicks.
And by the way, they really spread out the NBA final schedule, man. It is brutal.
So I'm saying it sucked last night. There wasn't a game.
I mean, they're not even going to start the NBA Finals till May 30th.
What are we at?
The 23rd?
Thursday. Yeah. It's a week from today.
So we got a week, and then it's May 30th. Game two would be June 2nd, June 5th, June 7th, June 10th, June 13th. And if they go to a seventh game, it's Father's Day. I mean, that is spread out, man.
Yep. And it was nice for a week when every night you had a game. That's not the case now. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067.
All right, let's go to Marvin, calling from District Heights. Marvin, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
What's
How
up,
are you,
what?
Man?
Man, I'm well. I'm doing well. I love you guys.
Thanks,
hey,
buddy.
I got a two-parter now. Check this out. Durant come back.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. Yeah. But that's just a... That's the
first
part.
I haven't even pondered that. What if KD comes back and they actually lose?
Yeah. And they lose.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right?
Yeah, what do you think the chances of that happening?
I don't see it. Let's be real.
They play Toronto or Milwaukee. What are the chances Golden State without Durant lose?
Man, hey, it's right now. I believe that with the bench and the guys, you know, feeling themselves really, really well, saying, man, we could play with these guys. But if Durant come back, right, and the bench don't get in like they was, and he scored 30, 35, and Curry only get 27, 28, and Draymond may get 9 and then a bunch of rebounds, and they lose, dude, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah,
it's going to be ugly.
What do you think about Drake on the court?
Hey, man, he's a bum. I can see if it was like a former player, Kareem, touching the coach. Man, you got him, coach. You get him, coach. But you got this guy. Ain't nobody. He's nobody. He up and down the sideline like oh my God. And he's no comparison to the guy that used to be at the Bullets game, you know, that used to be all does all the antics behind the bench. Yeah. That was just fun. But what he's doing, oh my God.
You know what?
I'm a super fan. Go Packers. Love him. Brother plays. Yes. Oh, yeah, man. I love the Packers.
Why are you a Packers guy, Marvin? You're District Heights.
But my brother went to a small college called Shippensburg and wound up being a long snapper for the Packers for 13 seasons.
Oh, very
He's third all-time games played behind Brett Favre and Paul Hornung.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty cool.
And then he became the director of player development. But
What's your brother's name? What's your brother's name?
Rob Davis.
That's very cool, man. Hey, Marvin, thank you for the call, man. Thank you.
Man, thanks for listening, man. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
You can make a long career, long snapper. Ask our buddy Ryan Keel.
Let's see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rob Davis. Hey, man, he's in Wiki.
He's in Wiki. He's real.
He went to Roosevelt High School.
Really?
Eleanor Roosevelt, yeah, before he went to Shippensburg.
Nice. Now you can bring him up instead of John Turner every time.
We generally look up the Google guy. Sergey Brin.
That's awesome.
That's your big call, yeah, for sure.
Or Martin Lawrence.
Well, also you had, who was the guy? Delonte West went crazy.
Yeah.
You had Delonte.
Delonte West.
All right, let's go to Dave in College Park. It's 800-636-1067, open line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. Lots to talk about, NBA playoffs, Drake antics, the Nats blow another one. This time it was Doolittle's turn. That was a heartbreaker.
Although it's Bearclaw's loss.
Bearclaw's loss, but still. Doolittle's the one that came in there and really killed him. Dave, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, man, what's up?
Yeah, well, I just want to say that the biggest thing is what you can take away from the KD situation, excuse me, is just that this is a lot like the Shaq and Kobe situation. You know, KD came there. He wanted to get some rings. He was willing to sell his soul to play with the great team. He can say it's about culture all he wants, but he wanted the rings. And now that he knows he's at that elite level and LeBron has stepped back and he's clearly the best player in the game and he's got his rings, he knows that this is always going to be Steph's team. And they pretty much have came out and said that stuff. And so it's pretty much like now he's got his rings. He wants to move on, get his own team, and prove his worth. So it's just that's why the sense is there. So no matter what, win, lose, or draw, this guy is gone. He's gone next year. You know, I don't know whether it's New York or not, but he's definitely gone. And but it's just it's not hatred towards them, but it's just like, okay, you know what?
That's the narrative. For his legacy, he wants to move on. I mean, you're not breaking new ground here. We understand that. I just wonder if that's actually what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, because if he bounces to New York and he teams up with Kyrie Irving, there's no guarantee they win a championship to me.
It could be a total mess.
Look
at LeBron.
Right. And so that's why I'm saying, why not stay in Golden State and just win more rings? Because if you end up getting 5 or 6, which I think they would be likely to win a couple more if Kevin Durant re-signed and Steph and Clay are still there and Draymond's there and nobody gets hurt, they're going to win more rings. Why not just pile them up so you've got 5 or 6? And then you just say F you to all the people and say, well, you had to leave Oklahoma City.
Because if he feels joins the Clippers, let's say it's the Clippers, it'll be very tough because he's still got Houston. But if he joins the Clippers with Kawhi, he might feel like they could take down the Warriors and win his own ring there.
True.
He might not think like you do.
But people have already kind of forgotten that LeBron built that super team. Initially, there was that criticism like, oh, LeBron's leaving Cleveland. He's going to Miami and he's brought along, you know, Chris Bosh. He won 2 rings there. People don't put an asterisk there.
No, I mean, not in the record books, but, I mean, people still talk about it. You just brought it up.
I know, but I think the criticism...
That was 7 years ago.
I think the criticism has waned.
Of course. I mean, look, we don't live in the past. I'm just saying that he probably doesn't think the way you do. He might be really pissed off. Everything's pissing him off right now since he's not playing. He might just say, F this. I'm going to go win my own ring. Show you how good I am.
For whatever it's worth, I think his manager or somebody did an interview yesterday and said that he's 100% undecided.
Correct.
I'm kind of buying that. I buy that. That because he sees pros and cons. He sees pros to staying and he sees pros to leaving.
I think it's hard to lock in before you even have the season wrap up.
Yep.
Like, he may be thinking, I'm going to go to New York, but what if Golden State does lose and he doesn't come back and play? Then he's like, well, see, shows you they need me.
Hmm. Then maybe he leaves. I think there's still a chance
to win championships.
I still
with
think
them.
There's a chance he comes back, they win, and he says, why am I going to leave this?
Yeah.
Especially if it's the most money. Yeah. I always feel like these guys go for the most money, and if it's the most money, that might be the best opportunity for them.
By the way, the Bucks or the Raptors, let's say it goes to Game 7, they're not going to have much rest, and Golden State's going to have 9 days of rest heading into it. There's talk not only KD might be back, but Boogie Cousins might even come back for the NBA Finals. 800-636-1067. It's Open Line Thursday here on the Junkies.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We've been talking a little bit about Kevin Durant, and I was a huge Kevin Durant guy. He was like my guy, him and Dirk. And this year, I was trying to kind of looking for like a favorite player that's in the playoffs, and I really was digging Damian Lillard, but he's out of it. I don't even know who I would root for in Golden State versus either Milwaukee or Toronto. Would you pull for either of those teams to upset Golden State? I do like watching Golden State play even more so when Kevin Durant's not there. They do pass the ball around well. Steph makes incredible shots.
Yeah. I think the story would be more interesting if the Warriors lost without KD going forward. So maybe
if
I
they
do,
lose without KD.
Yeah, maybe I do root for Milwaukee. I don't care. But I would say the story would be going forward, okay, KD really did mean something to them. And it would be interesting to see how he would react and if that would entice him to stay or leave. I think it would be interesting. I'd probably root for the Bucks.
I think it'd be more interesting if they win without him.
Yeah.
They win without him, then Steph is kind of making a statement. Like, Steph has three rings and has two MVPs, but in these NBA finals, when Kevin Durant has been on the team, he's kind of deferred. Kevin Durant has won the finals MVP. Steph, to me, would be making a statement like, hey, you guys have been sleeping on me as the best player in the game. I get disrespected. You guys talk about Harden, Giannis, LeBron, KD. I'm sorry. I'm as good as any of them. I'm just different.
Let's be honest. I don't think that the Bucks are going to beat the Warriors with or without KD. But, yeah, I can see that side, too.
I agree with Scalabrine yesterday, who said the finals was Houston against Golden State. Just happened in the second round.
All right, let's bounce some of these calls. 800-636-1067. It's Open Line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. Let's go to Brandon, calling from San Antonio, actually. Brandon, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, what's going on, Junks? Hey, I don't think KD is wishing any ill will in terms of the team losing at all. He just doesn't strike me as that type of individual, even with his beef with Draymond from time to time. But everybody's
right,
got
those
beef
are
with
his
Draymond
guys.
From time to time.
He won championships with them. He goes to war with them every night. Those are his guys.
Those are his guys until he leaves.
I think it would be disheartening to see him not come back at all and them still win it. I think that will put an asterisk on this year's championship for him from a lot of critics. That's how they would feel. And in terms of the last caller and the whole Drake thing, he's obviously well into his older ages and has no clue who Drake is, and I have no problem with Drake. I actually think it's very entertaining and good for the game.
Well, and the other thing is the cameras don't have to follow him. The cameras choose to follow him because he's a celebrity.
Exactly. I agree with you there, JP, in terms of I feel he gets a little bit too much attention every once in a while, but same thing as Spike Lee and Jack Nicholson and all those guys.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson. I'm in my golf line right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I got you. I hear you. So, you're right. It's not that much different. The only difference is he's been a little more active, and he's kind of making a little bit more about him by walking over and massaging and that sort of thing. Carrying
Brandon, by the way, must be listening on the Radio.com app. Of course, you can listen to us anytime, anywhere with Radio.com. Download the app today and listen to us.
I don't think people have a problem with heckling or yelling something out or anything like that. I think the problem is basically running onto the court and touching a coach.
Inserting yourself into the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine you doing
if
you're sitting on the wood?
No, it's just I actually think it looks unprofessional.
You'd be thrown out.
You'd probably
be arrested.
Yeah,
too.
But I think he might even be part owner if you look it up. So I think he gets a pass in that sense. But I still think it looks unprofessional for the organization. Really? Like, I think if you ask the organization privately, they wouldn't want that. But, he is their number one fan.
What would annoy me is just if I'm in the row right behind him, that he's standing up all the time. Stands up all the time.
That's annoying, too, if I can't see.
But you're right about the cameras. I mean, that's all ESPN shows. SportsCenter's all over it.
It's much like during the NBA draft.
It's so annoying.
The coverage of Zion Williamson received a lot of criticism because they just had it on Zion. But that you can't control that. It's not Zion's fault that ESPN just had the cameras on him during the draft lottery and not the other guys.
All right, let's go to Matt in Haymarket. Matt, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, great show. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bud. What's going on?
I was going to say, the Nats and their terrible bullpen and everything. The Twins 3 years ago, I know you talked about how they, the Twins have always been the team that doesn't pay their guys. And now they're 32-16 in 2019. But 3 years ago in 2016, they were, 10-20 through 30 games, or 10-30 maybe even. They were awful. And I think they finished with 103 losses. Their bullpen had something like 8 or 9 or 10 losses at the beginning of the season. They were just awful. Mm. But, now they're finding ways to win every single way possible.
With a rookie manager, by the way.
Yeah, Baldelli, yeah.
Rookie manager's got him 16 games over 500, 7-game lead. Yeah, incredible turnaround. They put something together there. Yeah. And they really don't have any superstars. I mean, Polanco's not a superstar. Brios isn't a superstar. Who else do they got over there? Kepler's not a superstar. They're just solid all the way around.
By the way, I'm reading that he is not an owner of the Toronto Raptors. You may find something different.
Maybe he's not.
This is an article from Milwaukee.
Didn't they put his name on like the practice arena or something?
Well, I just
did he donate money to that?
I saw another. I see another article. It says Toronto Raptors gift Drake a $550,000 jacket.
Yeah,
diamond encrusted jacket. So there's sort of relationship there. Maybe they just enjoy having a celebrity that they believe is going to ambassador
for the
team.
I'm telling you, he's involved somehow. His name, I think, is on like the practice arena or something. I don't know if he donated money to it or is this. It's weird, man. Never seen anything like it. Let's go to John in La Plata. John, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
What's going on, Junks? I wanted to talk a little bit about the Wiz. I wanted to touch on something Lurch said, though. I think you could possibly root for the Bucks. I don't know if Jason Smith is still on the team, but he's riding a pine.
Is Jason
Man, he
Smith
might get
still
a
on the Bucks? He's a good dude.
Let me see if he's still on that. I would say he probably is. Let me see.
Did he make the playoff roster?
Yeah,
that's a good question. We'll find out for you. What else, buddy?
But I also want to just say I'm really worried about the Wiz, man. I don't know how they can just put all their chips in the bag for Conley and then just say, oh, yeah, the three other guys that we have, we're not really interested in, giving any of them a contract, but yet they don't have really any other options. It's starting to get a little, where is the sense of urgency, I'm really thinking this is going to be a embrace the tank year for the Wiz.
The only thing I'll say is that one of the names – that supposedly the Wizards were interested in was the guy involved with the Toronto Raptors. So maybe they're waiting till the Raptors are eliminated from the playoffs to be able to talk to him.
It's possible. Jason Smith no longer with the Bucks. He was traded to the Pelicans in February before the deadline.
Oh, so that
and then
takes
was,
away that angle.
And then he was cut by the Pelicans. So he's currently with nobody.
Right, right. Yeah, the Wiz GM search is kind of confounding. Jerry Brewer writes about it. None of the candidates really excite people. You got Weaver from Oklahoma City. You've got Tommy Shepard, who, of course, worked for Ernie Grunfeld. And, of course, Ferry. You got Danny Ferry, whose father was a GM here and who's been general manager, at least for Atlanta. He was the interim GM for the Pelicans. Long history in the NBA. But I don't know. I mean, Jerry thinks he's too much of a retread. I think Ferry would be a good hire because, you're getting a solid GM.
Yeah.
But
I've talked to Dave Atkins a bunch. Dave Atkins is on the Wizards coaching staff.
Yeah.
And he really likes Tommy Shepard.
He does?
Yeah. He says Tommy Shepard's got a really good rep in the building.
The problem is he worked for Ernie, but as Candace Brucker said when we had her on the show, a lot of times, you know, the head guy, you just got to do what the head guy wants.
Yeah.
Right? You could still be very, very capable under the head guy, even if the head guy, you know, has this lax environment. If you read Candace Brucker's article about the 17 years under Grunfeld, it's kind of amazing about the lack of accountability, that sort of thing. But that doesn't mean that Tommy Shepard isn't qualified. Maybe
yeah,
he
is. According to Dave Atkins, he's really competent.
And he's the acting GM right now, right?
I think he is now, yeah.
Hey, look, sometimes the internal hire works. That's what the Caps did, right?
Yeah, it can. But they weren't as dysfunctional as the Wizards. That's the problem. All right, 800-636-1067. It's open line Thursday. Let's bang out one more quickie here before we go to break. Let's go to Greg in Manassas. Greg, what's up?
Good morning, Junks. Love the show. Listen to the station all day long.
Thanks, man.
But no problem. I got a quick perspective on the Draymond and the KD beef.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My thing is that they called him. Those guys picked up the phone after they lost the fines and said, hey, come join us. No one focuses on that. Everybody focuses on the fact that he went there. And it's just no different from Zion going to Duke or a stud Alabama player going to Alabama or those dream teams that Kentucky had.
True. They recruited him.
They recruited him. So he just said yes, but he takes all the slack, the beef for it. So Draymond and his beef was kind of phony to me because Draymond was the instigator to calling him and recruiting him. So that's my point of view.
The leader of the Hampton Five, as they called him.
Yeah, you really don't know.
Didn't they go to the Hamptons to recruit Kevin Durant?
You really just don't know what relationships are really like. You certainly can't know him through the media. You know, they could be buddies. Who knows? He may come back. Who knows? It's just interesting. But KD still has to be the bigger man and just not let these guys like Chris Broussard bother him. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it, buddy.
800-636-1067. It is Open Line Thursday. Your chances to hear the show. Coming up at 7:20, David Sampson's going to join us. Used to be the president of the Marlins. We'll get into the Nats issues. They're now 11 games below 500. He's a CBS Sports Major League Baseball analyst. That's at 7:20 here on the Junkie.